Now let's turn our attention to the scripture for today, which is Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Matthew chapter 6, 16 through 18. And these are the words of Jesus. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, Water Dam. Good to be with all of you. I hope that you're having a wonderful new year here as we saw the snow melt. Enjoyed some weather in the 60s. I mean, I couldn't believe that the other day. That was wild. But we had a wonderful time. We went over and saw Melissa's mom, celebrated her birthday. And the topic for today is fasting, I know, but we had peanut butter and chocolate cake yesterday, and it was good. It was really good. But I hope that you and your family are having a good new year. Let's pray as we start. Father, we thank you for all that you do in Christ as we think about what Jesus is saying to us today. We think about him, you knowing us and knowing all about us when we lie down and where we rise up. And you know the words before they leave our mouth and leave our tongue. We thank you, Lord, that you have taught us to be your people, which means practicing our righteousness, not for other people to be seen by men, but to be practicing our righteousness before you. And trusting that you see what we are doing, that you reward from heaven above. We thank you, Lord, for that picture today as we think about our church family going through so many things. Prayer and fasting is a part of life in the Christian life. As we think about the things that we are facing, as whether it be with our families, with our workplace, or with our relationships, Lord, we ask, Lord, now that you would consecrate those things, that you would teach us today and that you would encourage us in our spirit to be aligned with yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we continue in our series, God Knows Me, and when we join with Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. And our message today is on prayer and fasting. And when it comes to prayer, we know that God can do anything, that nothing is impossible for God. A wise man once said, nothing lies outside the reach of prayer, but that which lies outside the will of God. And so prayer, I like to say this is a great quote, prayer is the deadbolt in the morning and the key to unlock the door in the morning. So I just love that aspect of it, of that sense of starting our day with prayer, but ending our day with prayer as well. But we should be praying, Paul says, without ceasing. And so we like that about prayer. That we can go to God. But what about fasting? You don't hear too many sermons on fasting. Matter of fact, pastors don't like to talk about it too often. I can tell because there's not a whole lot of sermons out there on fasting. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is trying to move us away from rules towards a relationship with God. And in our text today, the greater righteousness is seen in more impurity of our motive rather than our outward observances. I just want to call your attention real quick to the top there, if you have your Bibles open, in Matthew chapter 6. He starts out this whole passage with, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So the idea is this constant idea that God is observing us. He knows what's going on in our life. God knows us. He knows me. He knows you. And that's why we're focusing on that. When we think about our Christian life, living a life without hypocrisy. Skip Heitzig said, fasting may sound strange to us. It challenges our self-centered view of the world as we voluntarily give up eating for spiritual reasons. We live in a culture where it's not about self-denial, but more about self-gratification. And Jesus here is talking about living a life without hypocrisy, being authentic, in other words. Christianity, Jesus is saying, is pull off the mask. Don't try to look the part. Don't be a pretender. Be somebody that has pulled off the mask and is being real, being authentic. As we think about that, what does that mean? Well, in this picture here, he nails the people that are the religious pretenders who try to prop themselves up in their pride and in their arrogance and their lack of integrity. Now, I read about fasting, and as you study this, you know, and you think about it, and there's times where I have fasted in my life, as I guess we don't have any slides. I don't know if we do, but I guess you won't see it, so you'll have to focus today really hard on what I'm saying. And so as we think about what's going on here, when we go to the idea of fasting, most of us have to admit that we don't like fasting. You know, have you ever tried to fast for even a meal? More than once, as a youth pastor, I was exposed to fasting with a 30-hour famine. And you're supposed to fast for 30 hours. You start, like, you tell the kids, you know, hey, on Friday, you're going to start fasting before we get here. And then we're going to go till, like, let's say 4 o'clock the next day, or Saturday till 6 o'clock. And so I was leading a bunch of students and preparing for the 30-hour famine a long time ago, about 30 years ago, and that we prayed, studied the Bible, and studied the material about other countries while we fasted, countries that were less fortunate than us. But I found myself preparing for that moment like I was going into battle, so I was eating as much stuff as I could before I knew I had to stop eating. I was preparing to fast. And I heard another pastor say that he goes, I like food just like anybody else. And he's in the Kansas City area. And he said he was talking about all the different foods. And he goes, I like vegetables and all that stuff. He says, but I really like whatever crawls up on my grill. And that's when I really enjoy it. Feasting, not fasting. I read that fasting is something that brings us closer to God. And as we look at it in the Bible, it's mentioned about 70 times. And we know that the Bible, Moses fasted, David fasted, Daniel fasted, Nehemiah fasted in the Old Testament. We know that Anna fasted in the New Testament. She was praying in the temple. John the Baptist fasted. And then Jesus fasted, as well as Paul fasted in Acts chapter 14. At the very end of it, it talks about fasting. Acts chapter 13, before they sent off Paul from his missionary journey, they fasted and prayed over him. So there's all these examples of fasting. And so the minute we think about fasting, we start having a conversation with ourselves. Right now, you're probably having a conversation with yourself about why you should not do without food. And that my wife, they were asking me what I was preaching on. I said, fasting. My wife said, I get headaches. My kids, I don't like that. It was like a battle going on, and I'm just like telling them what I'm preaching on. And maybe some of you right now are thinking like towards me, and you're thinking about I hope not. And then today, I think there was a battle going on for the shower. I ended up having to take a cold shower. I was complaining. Kate got in there before everybody, and that took all the bath water. And then Hannah got in there. And then their mom gets in there, and I go up, and I have to sit on my bed there. She goes, what are you doing? I'm waiting for lukewarm water. You know, I had a rough morning. They said I was like little critter. You know, I'm having a bad day. Well, here we are with Jesus, and the minute we think about fasting, again, we start thinking about, well, how can we do without food? And I can come to God through Jesus, so the argument might be, what good does fasting really do anyway? So let's see today what God's Word does. Oh, I can't turn that. So let's see what God's Word does today as we think about what Jesus says. Notice what the Lord Jesus says. Now, you have to use your Bibles now because I can't put it up there, but fasting in chapter 6, verse 16 in Matthew, He says, and when you fast, not if you fast. Notice that. He says, when you fast, do not look like gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God knows us, friend. You see that all the time in the Bible, that God sees us. Whether people see us or not, we don't have to worry about it. Our Heavenly Father knows us. He knows what's going on in our life. So when we look at this, God looks more like, friend, God sees not only what we look like on the outside, but more importantly, God sees what's on the inside. He sees our hearts. So he knows that why, the motives of why we're doing what we're doing. Fasting is never forced, but it's not obligatory. Obligatory? It doesn't obligate you. How's that? You don't have to fast. But if you do fast, when you fast, Jesus assumes you will fast. Now, here, let's go back up to your scripture there in verse 2. It says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. So, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And then again, look at verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and when your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then he goes on to talk about not filling it up, your prayer life, being serious about it, not filling it with empty words, he says. That's very interesting. Now, notice after that, he talks about the Lord's Prayer. So when you give alms, charitable giving. Secondly, when you pray. And then thirdly, we get down to verse 16. What does he say? And when you fast. And so when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. It's an assumption on the part of Jesus that this is a part of the walk, the Christian walk. Just as they would do in verse 2, they would give, just as they would pray in verse 5, and then in verse 16, and when you fast. The three, a commentary that I have a book on this, said that their three chief acts of Jewish piety was almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. So I would say that most of us have heard a lot of sermons about giving, a few more about praying, but how many sermons have we heard about fasting? And so as we learn from Jesus here, we have no more reason to exclude fasting from the teaching than we do about giving and praying. Amen? Okay, you agreed with that. Amen. And so be careful where you're going there. And as you say, hold your place there and turn over to Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. It's another place where we see this again in chapter 9, verse 14. He says in chapter 9, verse 14, then the disciples came to John to him, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples, they don't fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away, and then they will fast. So incredibly, we see that Jesus is saying that it's clear that the disciples will fast. And so fasting is never enforced, but it's encouraged. And we see Jesus saying, when you do it. He didn't say, if you do it. So he's assuming that his disciples will fast. Ha! There we go. Thank you, Andrew and Sean. Fasting is assumed and it is expected, and pray, when you fast, you want to pray together with fasting. So I want you to see that fasting and prayer kind of go together. You don't do one without the other. And then fasting is drawing near to God. You're fasting from food or something that's important to you to give your time to something greater to you, which is Jesus, for a spiritual reason, right? You're not just having a diet time. You know, that's good for you, but you're fasting for a spiritual reason. You're trying to draw near to God. Now, there was only one fast that was required, and it was back in the Old Testament. There was a day they had to fast called the Day of Atonement. It's in Leviticus 16. He says, "And it shall be a statute to you forever, that is, in the seventh month and the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you." So one day a year, they would fast. Actually, two times during 2 months out of the year that they would fast during the Day of Atonement. And they were repenting of sins. They were drawing close to God. And so that was part of that. As we look at this, fasting and prayer do go together, but I would suggest to you that worship also is part of that, because sometimes we separate worship and prayer and Bible reading. We talk about that as far as intimacy with God. When we want to be intimate with God, we meditate on the Scriptures, right? We worship, Bible study, prayer, but worship is not just singing. It's an actual, if you want to use the word proskuneo, which is prostrating yourself before God. In other words, you are focused on God at that time. You don't have to sing. You can be meditating on Scriptures. You can just be thinking about Scriptures, drawing near to God. Your focus is to be more on your character than your reputation. God knows who you are. Someone once said, fasting is feasting on fellowship with God. And so when we fast, we're seeking fellowship with God. John Wesley considered fasting to be a part of his ministry, an important part of his Christian life, and he personally fasted weekly. To Wesley, fasting was an important way to express sorrow for sin, penitence for overindulgence in eating and drinking. Now, I'll tell you right now, when you have peanut butter cake and ice cream in front of you, you know. And so it's interesting that he says that, because I was thinking about that as I fasted. What does this really mean when I fast, if I fast a day? Because I saw where James Dobson's father, I think it was his father, fasted his lunch every day and prayed for his son. And look what his son has done in his ministry and his life. That's a pretty powerful statement. As we think about this, Jonathan Edwards was often known to be fasting. He was the one that caused a revival in the New England area. And he had that sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And so as Edwards talked about this, it says Edwards referred to it or called what he might be termed special congregational in contrast to personal fast days. He did so in the pursuit of spiritual revival in response to events as varied as military campaigns, epidemics, sickness, and local suicide. All these were in addition to annual days of public fasting, which were apparently a customary part of the calendar for the people of Northampton. So that's about when you fast, right? So we think about when we fast, we want to draw near to God, but we want to avoid hypocrisy. But not so fast, right? That's what he's saying. Jesus is saying, but not so fast. When we think about fasting, there's some things that we have to be careful of, and one of them is hypocrisy. It's not about looking and trying to appear more spiritual. We're seeking God, not man. And hypocrisy can creep in as we think about that we're kind of going there. So sometimes people misuse fasting. People sometimes try to use fasting to manipulate or compel God. So number one, they try to manipulate God to act, to compel him to work for them. After all, I'm not hearing from God from the normal prayer time, and I want him to act, so I try to compel God through fasting. You start telling God, hey, I'm down here fasting. Don't you see? You know, like you're wondering, why is he not answering? It's not a way to compel God to do what you desire. David, remember, prayed for his sick child and was fasting, but his sick child passed away. And so we have to remember that. It's not a way to compel God. The second thing, sometimes people try to use it for merit, to earn righteousness with God, but never change their hearts. They continue to act the way they always have in their sin. And listen to verse 3 in Isaiah chapter 58. It's a great chapter if you want to go look at fasting. And the people of God were complaining and questioning God. They said, "Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it?" And then the people are sitting there telling God all about it. And then God answers back. He says, "Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with wicked fists. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high." So they were fasting and fighting at the same time. And so as we think about how we are, this is a sense of God's not only bringing us and drawing us near, but it's not about being just religious, it's about sincerity, that God looks for sincerity of our hearts. They seem to be afflicting their souls. They still gratified their lusts in Isaiah 58. They were covetous and unmerciful. "Bring no more of those empty, noisy, vain oblations," God says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13. Notice that fast and pray, and yet you go on wicked ways. Do, but mock God and deceive themselves in the process. So they're fasting more out of ritual than they are about sincere devotion. I like to use this phrase. They were going through the motions of devotion. And so when we go through the motions of devotion, it's really, kind of our nod to God, but kind of not really. The heart's far away. Jesus said that about the people. He says, "You worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." And so God is telling them in verse 5 there in Isaiah 58, he says, "Is such that fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord?" In other words, he's being sarcastic. In other words, even though they're doing all the right things, they're fasting from food, they're bowing their heads, he says, like a reed. He says, "But look at what you're doing. Look at what you're doing. God wants our hearts. And if our fast doesn't change our hearts, the amount of love that we show others, your ability to do good works, it is something that God is saying, I don't want it. He says, don't bother. And then in verse 6, he says, "Is not this fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh." That was an interesting statement. There's a woman that I saw walking, and she was begging for money. And we were in a part of the neighborhood that I didn't feel comfortable. And you always think about, like, should I give them any money? And I was thinking of that word, hiding from our own human flesh. I felt convicted about that in my heart. And I was like, is that what I was doing? Hiding in my own heart from the human flesh. That's what he's talking about in verse 7 of Isaiah 58. He says, "Share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house. And when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh." I'm so thankful for our city missions as we try to do some things to help raise money for our city missions. They house people. They help people. They cover the naked. So help us, Lord, to be faithful of not hiding from our own human flesh. Then he says in verse 8 of Isaiah 58, he says, "Then you shall let your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The Lord, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." So when we think about this, we are not to be trying to appear more spiritual. Now, we're going back to where Jesus was, not in Isaiah 58, but in Matthew. And he says the Pharisees, they fasted 2 times a week. They were known to be kind of legalistic and ritualistic, and apparently they were exhibitionists. Because it's said that the Pharisees, Chaplain and Professor Gregory Brown said, the Pharisees fasted on Mondays and Thursdays. And they claimed that they were, the reason was because Moses ascended and descended from Mount Sinai, where he received the law in those days. However, those just happened to be the 2 days that the major market days where people from the country would crowd the towns and the cities to buy and sell. And clearly, those were the days that the religious leaders had the biggest audience. Christ called them hypocrites, which is the word used for actors. And they would rend their clothes and put makeup on to make themselves look more gaunt. And so when people would walk by, they'd say, oh, look at them. They're spiritual. Can you believe it? That? Can you see how spiritual they are? And they were really just, you know, faking it. And they were acting. They were putting makeup on their face, literally going out of the way to put makeup on their face to appear more spiritual. Hence the rebuke from Jesus. So we see it in verse 16. So when you fast, he says, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And so Jesus says, but if they are done from the heart, it will please the Father. Look at verse 17. But Jesus said, when you fast, he says, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, when we think about that, as we think about our own life and how we approach this, you might be thinking about fasting. He says, don't go out and tell everyone. Now, you may have to tell your wife if you're not going to eat her food, right? You got to tell her. You can't be testing the fudge that day. Or, you know, the cookies, the burnt. I like the burnt cookies. I always get the remains, and I love that. But you can't go out and tell everybody. Begin slow, maybe. Fast a meal. Fast a lunch or a breakfast or something, and start dedicating some of that time to praying. Every time you feel hungry, you feel that need of the physical, cry out to God for the spiritual. Cry out to God and seek God's face. Erwin Luther says, something happens when we fast. Our bodies will begin to feel it. We may hear our stomachs start to complain about our fasting. Your whole body, he says, might file a complaint for cruel and unusual punishment. He says, but hang in there. You'll make it through. You've heard of camels, right? They've got those two humps on their backs. Now, Luther said this. I didn't go look it up and check him because I know they hold water. But he said they also hold food. They've got shelves in there for storage. So when they need some, they can get it off the shelf. It's there in the pantry when they come to be in need. Some of us have pantries, but we keep them fully stocked. We don't let anything come off the shelf. We like to keep them nice and full. And he says that we have to be careful of that because your body, the idea is that your body will start to say, hey, you don't need to do that. Don't do that. Or you ever found yourself fasting and you start to get up out of habit, you start to go in and you open the cabinet, you look at the food, and you go, oh, I'm fasting. Back to the chair, back to the Bible. I have done that. You catch yourself because when you're under stress or you're praying, you're feeling that sense of dissonance from your body to that you're focused on the spiritual and out of habit get up to go to the cabinet. Do you guys have a snack cabinet? How many people here have a snack cabinet? We're the only ones? Oh, no. I knew it. That's where all the stuff is, right? You keep it all right there. So we have to be careful when we fast, that we fast for the right reasons, that we're not just taking a diet for Jesus. We're not just going on a diet for Jesus. We're dieting to seek God's face. So why should we fast? We just talked about when we fast. We talked about not so fast. Why fast? Number one, we want to know that we are drawing near to God. To draw near to God. The food is for the body as God is for the soul. Remember Jesus' words when he was in the desert and he'd fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and the devil come up to him and tempted him. He says, why don't you just turn these rocks into bread, right? Eat, in other words. You could feed yourself. And Jesus said to him, man does not live on what? Bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So again, I would start out by maybe fasting a lunch or a day, if you want to try a day, or even for 30 hours like we did for the 30-hour famine. But make sure you take some juice or some water. You don't need to be, hypoglycemic or whatever. And some of us may not be able to fast. There were kids when I did 30-hour famine that they basically could go break their fast. They had to eat a little bit of food in the morning when they took medicine or whatever it was. And so those kids would take and bring a lunch. They would tell us ahead of time. We encouraged it. We wanted them to, but we had a great time. We would fast. We would do some fun things. We did spiritual things where we studied with other people, about other people who are not so fortunate. And so there's all kinds of fasts. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He received the scriptures in Exodus 34:28. It says he neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. Now, someone of you might say, I can do that. I could fast for 40 days and 40 nights. After all, Moses and Jesus did it. Newsflash, you're not Moses, and neither are you Jesus. And so you probably shouldn't or even try to do it. Now, I heard a pastor say this as a joke. I'll tell it to you. I think it's a joke. I hope it's a joke. The guy said he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He wanted to hear from God. He was waiting to hear from God. Well, he did. God took him home. Jesus said, I messed the joke up. God apparently said, come home, and the guy died. So, don't do it. I didn't think it was a good joke either. It's like, shouldn't even have tried it. The second reason, I don't know why that went up there like that. It's to repent of sin. And so when we fast, we're being sincere about our words. We're mourning over our sin. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, Joel 2, 12 and 13, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, he says, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. In other words, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, he says, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. So in biblical times, they would go through these rituals, and they would tear their clothes. They would be ripping their clothes, indicating that they were mourning, and they would let everybody know that they were fasting. And God said, don't tear your clothes, don't rend your garments, rend your hearts. And then I will see. And so as we think about it, that we are to repent over our sin. The third thing, and you're not going to be able to see it with that, but it's to seek direction, protection, and revelation. That's some of the things that the people did. When David was seeking direction, I'm sorry, in Daniel chapter 9 and 10, Daniel fasted and God gave him revelation through the angel. In Exodus 24, Moses received the law from God while fasting on Mount Sinai. And then while the elders were in Antioch, they were fasting at the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to protection for ministry, for missions, in Acts chapter 13. And so during times of danger, we see this demonstrated in numerous places in Scripture. We see the sons of Israel praying for guidance in battle, Judges chapter 20, verses 18 to 48. The prayers of the blind Saul in Damascus, wanting to discover the Lord's will for his future, in Acts chapter 9, verse 9. To the apostles seeking the Lord's guidance in the selection of elders in the early church, Acts 13. And so during times of sorrow, actually, we know that, David took hold of his clothes and tore them, so he did. All the men who were with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. In other words, they had died. And so we see during times of sorrow, during times of seeking God's protection, his direction, and his revelation. In 1974, Mark Hatfield called for a national day of humiliation called Fasting and Prayer for Americans to kind of rethink the way they live their lives, to acknowledge their dependence on a creator and repent of their national sins. Now, what made this interesting is that he was a senator back in 1974. His home newspaper wrote this when they proposed the day. He proposed the day as a time He says, we all eat humble pie. So that year, when he proposed a Thanksgiving revolution, he called all Americans to identify with the world's hunger, and he encouraged fasting in holiday times and Thanksgiving. He called a meeting where I heard that he gave everybody a hard role to kind of emphasize the idea of the hardness of our hearts and the need of the people. So we want to make sure that we fast for all the right reasons. The last one, to loose the yoke of wickedness, that we saw that in Isaiah 58. And there's other times in the Bible that you can go find this where people prayed and fasted before God to protect the nation. And so we don't know what to do. Like when we see things going on in our world, that's going on, and why is it that some of the things are going on and the direction we're headed, why shouldn't we fast and pray and cry out to God in mourning for sin and for direction? I mean, it's just crazy what some of the things that we see going on today. And so we should fast. So as we think about it, what are the benefits of fasting? True fasting, as we look at this, we'll go through these pretty quick so we can close our service today. But the fact that God will reward us and bless us. True fasting is of the heart. If it's done in secret, it says your Father in secret will reward you. True fasting brings blessing. True fasting is of the heart, not just the body. Fasting is for the Christian, is preparing and praying for and other spiritual exercise. It means giving up a lesser thing to gain a greater. And this could involve food. It could be sleep. In some cases, between a husband and wife, abstaining from sexual relations in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 6. John Piper said this, fasting is a temporary renunciation of something that itself is good, like food, in order to intensify our expression for the need for something greater, namely God and his work in our lives. True fasting teaches us self-control and self-discipline. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, I told you about my thing. I get up and I go to the snack cabinet, or I get up and just go start to look in the refrigerator. You just stand there in front of it sometimes. But when you're fasting, you'd be surprised. My body just says, hey, Jack, you're hungry. Why don't you go get a big spoonful of peanut butter? And, I'm always fascinated by that, how my body resists that. And if I plan on fasting just for a lunch, how much my body just starts, my mind starts racing and thinking about, okay, Jack, if you eat a big, big breakfast, you won't be really that hungry. Is that the fast that God wants from me? You know, like, is that all my head is, you know, the god of your belly is your stomach. You know, the thing is that we need to say that the food is for the stomach, but God is for the soul. Erwin Luther said, Jesus, as we need food for the bodies, our bodies cry out when we don't give it that food. That is what God is to the soul. We spend all of our time worrying about our bodies and how our bodies look and how much food we eat and how our bodies look as far as their appearance. Our soul is totally neglected when God is to the soul, when really God is to the soul and food is to the body. How important is God to you? True fasting strengthens our prayer life. Fasting, the pleasures of eating are wonderful, but they're fleeting. The pleasures of fasting are lasting. Fasting brings our faith into focus. Andrew Murray said, prayer is reaching out for the unseen. Fasting is letting go of all that is seen and temporal. Fasting helps us express, deepen, and confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God. Powerful, powerful stuff. It strengthens our prayer life. It's also a powerful weapon in our spiritual warfare. That is Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is in the wilderness. That's where we say to Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The last one is from Mark chapter 9, verse 29, and it's important that you know that it's Mark chapter 9, verse 29, and it's when Jesus is dealing with a demon in a boy, and the disciples are unable to perform the exorcism, although they had previously given authority for unclean spirits. Later, the disciples go and ask Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And he said, the only reason why you couldn't do it is because it only comes out with prayer and fasting. Now, in Mark chapter 9, verse 29, it just says with prayer. But in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, it says with prayer and fasting. But here's another little nugget for you. That's not in the ESV. I could not find verse 21 in my ESV. So that you can go look for that in your own prayer time and your study time. But it is in the King James Version of the Bible. Mark chapter 17, verses 14 to 21. But it is a powerful weapon when it comes to spiritual warfare. It removes the bonds of wickedness. God's true fast removes the bonds of wickedness. And so as we look at it, it also provides guidance and guarding. We see that in Isaiah 58, 10 through 11. And one of the last ones, restoration of the foundations of many generations. I found that very interesting because of the state of which the United States is in. It says something very interesting in the last part there. And when we think about it, it says in verse 12, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. I thought that was very interesting in verse 12 of restoration for the foundations of many generations. Our country needs our foundations restored. And we need people to be repairers of the breach. So as we look at this, true fasting leads to true blessing. And maybe you'd like to join me in fasting. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's a day for you. It doesn't matter. It's not a required thing. I'm just saying to you, as I call your attention to this very important thing that Jesus wants us to fast, or that he is encouraging us and assuming that we would fast, and so we would pray, and I pray that God would give us Pittsburgh. Jonathan Edwards used to pray that God would give him New England. And so I've been praying for God to give us Pittsburgh. And maybe you'd like to join me in this. And what matters is that focus your time on your prayer with your life, with your family, and something you're seeking from God for our nation, and how desperate we are for God to do a mighty work in our nation. As the deer pants for the flowing stream, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As we think about it, we've got a lot of things going on in our life, and we have some trials and stuff, and it would be a great time to fast and pray. Because what does the psalmist tell us, or the hymnist tell us, in How Firm a Foundation in verse 4? He says, when through the fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flames shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. He doesn't say we're going to go around the fiery trials. He didn't say we're going to go over the fiery trials. He says we're going to go through the fiery trials. And so, prayer and fasting, friends. Let's start praying and fasting when we are able. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you, we thank you for this message and this reminder to us that we can cry out to you, that we can come to you and you care about us, that you know us and you see us, not just what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. And Lord, so help us to not just be religious, but be sincere in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray and thank you for all that you do for us in Christ. Amen. Amen. Hear the words of the benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.